Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. It's been 18 years, but author Elizabeth McCracken has a new novel out. Similar to some of the themes in her previous novel, The Giant's House, McCracken's new book also is about people who might be considered outcasts. Her latest is titled Bowl Away, and Elizabeth McCracken is in the studio to tell us more. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
So why did it take 18 years to do another novel?
Oh, golly. I published a couple of books in between then, a collection of short stories and a memoir. And I was always working on novels, but they didn't quite work out. I have a brimming drawer full of novels that I've put aside.
Well, it's brimming with imagination here and all kinds of colorful characters and storylines and everything else. So your Bowl Away is about Bertha Troot, this sort of larger-than-life woman. And you start by saying, they found a body in the Salford Cemetery, but above ground and alive. So why start there in a cemetery and this flamboyant Bertha? Where did it all come from?
Well, the book started when I was reading my grandfather's genealogies, and I was just sort of casting around for an idea for the next book, and the names in the genealogy were fantastic. Bertha Truitt is one of them, Dr. Leviticus Sprague, Jephtha Arison, which might be my favorite
name. Those are all real names.
Those are all real names from my grandfather's genealogies. And they were so suggestive and interesting to me that I thought I would start there. And then I started thinking about home, because I'm a New Englander, and I live in Texas right now. And I thought, I'd like to write about New England. And if you're going to write about New England, there's really nothing more New Englandish than candlepin bowling. So that was the start. And starting with Bertha in the cemetery was actually a later decision. I kept trying to get a handle on her and tried to write about her childhood. And every time I tried to over-explain her, it felt wrong. So I decided to begin with as mysterious a beginning as I possibly could.
But, you know, she's mysterious throughout.
Yeah.
So where'd she come from? I mean, in terms of you developing her as a character.
I'm not sure, actually. I wanted to write about somebody who was a mystery to other people and also sort of a mystery to herself. Mm. And somebody who had made the decision at some point in her life to be a sort of serial character, that is, to pick up and start over again and again in her life. And my theory was that she was doing that at the start of this novel, and then she got stuck. She falls in love, and she has a child, and so she can't switch to the next thing.
Mm. You know, there's a part in the book where you write, our subject is love because our subject is bowling, which, you know, not everyone would put the two together necessarily. So there's a part of the book that I'm wondering if you could read. I think you have it in front of you. Could you read that excerpt?
Yes, I'd be happy to. Our subject is love. Unrequited love, you might think. The heedless, headstrong ball that hurtles nearsighted down the alley. It has to get close before it can pick out which pin it loves the most, which pin it longs to set spinning. Then, I love you, then blammo. The pins are reduced to a pile, each one entirely all right in itself, intact and bashed about. Again and again the pins stand for it until they're knocked down. The ball return splits up the beloveds, flings the ball back away from the pins. You stay there. The ball never does. It's flung back by the bowler. Here it comes flying. Blammo. You understand. It only seems unrequited.
Blammo. So is bowling a metaphor for life as well as being a, you know, something idiosyncratically New England?
You know, I adore metaphor, and so there's a pig-headed part of me that thinks I can make anything a metaphor for life if I really push it. But I think that it is. And one of the things that I've always really loved about candlepin and loved thinking about while writing this book is that, unlike tenpin, which within years of its invention, people were bowling perfect games. Mm-hmm. And if you're a tenpin bowler and you're really good, you know that you're going to get some strikes. But candlepin is harder. And nobody's ever bowled a perfect game. And it's both, I find it both very interesting and slightly boring in a way that I also find interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And you bowl your ball and then you wait to see what happens. And there's this great little time where you just stand at the foul line and wait.
You know, also in your book, there are a lot of orphans, there's some heartbreak, folks are disinherited. And you know, this idea of misfits or outcasts is similar to the Giant's House, mm-hmm. right? Where you had the librarian and her relationship with the tallest man in the world. So why do you think misfits are so intriguing to you?
Partly because it's my heritage. I come from a family of eccentrics and oddballs, and those people have always been the most interesting people to me. And it's true that's true of the Giant's House, too. I'm happy to say in this book, the people who are misfits glory in their eccentricity. They're delighted to be weird and strange. And I like people who take that pleasure in being absolutely different and not caring exactly how other people interpret them.
Well, some of it's painful, though, when they talk about, yeah. especially, you know, physical abnormalities and having to struggle with that. I mean, why was it easier, do you think, to give a visual of that physical abnormality to help people understand their sort of your character's outlier status?
Maybe a bit, but I also think that that everybody's body is normal to them, and that sense of being physically different, there are physical things that you do have to overcome, but there is also the judgment of other people,
right.
And that's something that I've always been interested in, is that sense that who we are physically does define us, but also has nothing to do with who we are.
There's also a lot of loss in Bowlaway. There's Luetta Mood. She was one of the mainstay bowlers. And she's beautiful and complicated, and she's tortured by the death of her child. And you've written about your own experience with that. How much of what you wrote about Luetta Mood and Bowlaway is based on your own experience?
You know, it's funny because when I first wrote Luetta, she didn't have a dead child. And while I was revising the book and I realized that she was very important, I thought about her and thought that there was something that had happened to her in the past, and it was a dead child. And I'm kind of a stupid writer in that there's very little that I do purposefully. And I do a ton of stuff on the subconscious level. And I think I might have even made that decision before I went, oh, yeah, I kind of wrote a book about this already, my own experience. And the difference, I think, is when you write it in fiction, you can think about how other people view that character. Whereas when I wrote about my own experience, my first child was stillborn, I couldn't have done that. I had no distance on it whatsoever. I sort of wrote the book because I had no distance. And so this character feels like the version of the story that I might write now as opposed to closer to the events of my own life.
Hmm. You know, you've described this book as a genealogy.
Yes.
Yeah. What do you mean by that?
I guess I wanted the plot of the book to be really about generations passing one to the other and the things that people thought they knew about the generation before them, which they're nearly always wrong about. I'm so struck by how often a story that somebody has told me turns out to be not true, or assumptions that I've made about my family turn out not to be true. And yet I don't want to give up those stories that I believed in.
Right.
And so I wanted it to be not a scientific genealogy and not a heavily researched genealogy, but a version of the stories that a family tells about itself.
Oh, it was great. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Elizabeth McCracken, award-winning author of 6 books. Her latest is Bowl Away. And that's our show for today. Radio Boston is a production of 90.9 WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. Our show is produced by Jamie Bologna, Chris Siderek, Paris Alston, Zoe Mitchell, and Eve Zukoff. Tim Skog is our technical director. Our executive producer is Hitesh Hathi. I'm Deborah Becker. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.
Wait, don't go yet. because you already know how to download a podcast.
But if you have any other tech or life question, maybe we can help you. WBUR is working on a new show, and we need your tech questions.
Or maybe your parents' questions. Just click that little phone-shaped app on your cell phone and leave a message. 617-917-4717.
Yes, we know. How quaint. A phone call. But give it a try. 617-917-4717.